Once there was a civilization, much like ours, but with a greater intelligence, greater powers, and a greater capacity for good.
As a human being, you are not one of them.
Folks, welcome back to The Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live on the Orion Talk Radio Network, Saturday night, July 31st, 2010. Anyway, welcome back to the second hour of The Light of Day radio program. Oh man, sure enough, my CD player just failed on me here. I have no idea what happened to it, but I'm going to have to try to... I have like two or three sound bites I want to play here during this hour. I'm going to have to, I guess, put the CD into my DVD player and send it out from my living room television set into my mixer board, but I'll have to get that squared away during the next break here. Oh, let's see. Denver Airport murals. I got this email from a guy named Eric, who's on my email list. Pretty interesting. He says, "Hi, Sheldon. Okay, maybe I might have figured it out on those DIA murals. The whole wall mural is the Destroyer, Planet X, Wormwood, etc. What if the oil around the whale, which goes around the city and around the fleeing people that leads to the Destroyer, also known as the Nazi soldier, is the tale of the Destroyer? Question mark. This lashing tale is no mere thing. It is an immense tale capable of wrapping around the earth The tale has left evidence of the very red clay found in spots around the world, not the normal soil color for earth. So look at these pictures again. The tale is long enough to go around the world. The character of the Nazi soldier is the Destroyer, Planet X. The tale is huge, follows the soldier behind him is humanity cast in ruin and distress. Death to animals and fire to the planet. Peace comes after the Destroyer, presented here, a passing or death. If mean take all the pictures, put them in sequence, and look at how the tale begins with the three dead women wraps around the whale and follows behind the city into the soldier, everything in its past is destroyed and ruined. I mean, even the deluge is put up in this. Then our favorite, the rebirth after the passing of the Destroyer, no more war, etc., makes perfect sense to me. What do you think?" The syntax was sort of improper there in the email. I wish these people would take better time on telling me what they want to tell me, because it doesn't sound right on the air. But anyway, if you folks want to check out these Denver Airport murals, you can go to my Archives Miscellaneous subpage, and I have tons of pictures of it on there. Here's another article. The Vivos group is in the news again. Now, this is the group that have been building these underground shelters across the country. I'm going to pull up the email here. I got it from Bill Alec. It's a USA Today article. I was also told this by somebody at my place of employment a few days ago that this Vivos group was in the news again. Doomsday Shelter is making a comeback. Bill Alec from Sedona, Arizona sent me this today. He has his own radio show. This was posted in the USA Today on, I'm not sure of the date, but anyway. This was by Keith Matheny of USA Today. Jason Hodge, father of four children from Barstow, California, says he's not paranoid, but he is concerned, and that's why he bought space in what might be labeled a doomsday shelter. Mr. Hodge bought into the first of a proposed nationwide group of 20 fortified underground shelters, the Vivos Shelter Network, that are intended to protect those inside for up to a year from catastrophes such as a nuclear attack, killer asteroids, or tsunamis, according to the project's developers. We just heard here about, maybe 2 days ago, about this asteroid that's maybe 175 years away from us. Well, I got to talking to John DiNardo about that today, and he thinks that what they're probably really trying to tell us is that asteroids from Planet X entourage of objects is maybe like more like 175 days away. Anyway, back to the article quote, it's an investment in life, says Mr. Hodge, a Teamsters Union representative. I want to make sure I have a place I can take me and my family if that worst-case scenario were to happen. There are signs that underground shelters, almost forgotten relics of the Cold War era, are making a comeback. The Vivos Network, which offers partial ownership similar to a timeshare in underground shelter communities, is one of several ventures touting escape from a surface-level calamity. Radius Engineering in Terrell, Texas, has built underground shelters for more than three decades, and business has never been better, says Walton McCarthy, company president. The company sells fiberglass shelters that can accommodate 10 to 2,000 adults to live underground for 1 to 5 years with power, food, water, and filtered air, Mr. McCarthy says. The shelters range from $400,000 to a $41 million facility that the Radius Engineering firm is building and installed underground that is suitable for 750 people, Mr. McCarthy says. He declined to disclose the client or location of the shelter. Quote, we've doubled sales every year for 5 years, he says. Other shelter manufacturers include Hardened Structures of Colorado and Utah Shelter Systems, which also report increased sales. The shelters have their critics. Ken Rose, a history professor at California State University Chico, and author of One Nation Underground, The Fallout Shelter in America Culture, says that underground shelters were a bad idea a half century ago, and they're a bad idea now. Quote, a terrorist with a nuke in a suitcase pales in comparison to what the Cold War had to offer in the 50s and 60s, which was the potential annihilation of the human race, he says. So anyway, that article goes on and on. Another news article here. I went back and revisited the Spaceport America facility down there that is north of Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. And sure enough, I found this concrete dome structure that is purported to be an air and fire rescue facility. But when you look at this thing, it looks like it can hold a couple hundred or maybe even a couple thousand people in it. Anyway, we're at the break again. We'll be back. You're listening to The Light of Day on the Orion Talk Radio Network, and I'll figure out this CD player during the break. Stay tuned.
We do to lay back.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to the Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live Saturday night, July 31st, 2010, on the Orion Talk Radio Network. Broadcasting live from this monsoon-stricken Sonora Desert, where our dew points are close to 70 degrees. I hope you folks enjoyed my first hour guest, John, there from Milwaukee. He's a pretty close friend of mine. I actually visited him a few months ago up there in Milwaukee, and sometimes me and him sort of agree that John Moore might be wrong about some things, like the massive tsunami flooding that'll cover Wisconsin, because when I was riding around there on the city bus with John in Milwaukee, he showed me this big bluff that sits high above Lake Michigan there where he is, and we couldn't think how all this water would come up and flood Milwaukee. So he's a pretty close research associate of mine. He sends me a lot of interesting email links on news stories I need to keep up on. Back to this new Spaceport America facility down there north of Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. This is apparently one of many that they're planning on building. In my opinion, most of Florida is going to become flooded, and they're going to have to move the Kennedy Space Center to a new location, and I think it's going to be possibly in New Mexico. The U.S. FAA is currently, this is from August of 2006, folks. Back then, the FAA was reviewing proposals to build commercial spaceports in several states, so there may be other places that the elite may be going to go up into orbit as these Earth calamities start to unfold. Some of these states include California, Wisconsin, and Texas. In June of 2006, the FAA approved a license for a spaceport built on a former military base in Oklahoma that is expected to put passengers into space by 2008, which apparently hasn't happened yet. But Virgin Galactic, which is the headquarters down there in New Mexico, has accepted 335 reservations for suborbital trips totaling $65 million. It has collected $45 million in deposits. Now, according to Futron, a Bethesda, Maryland-based consulting firm, 15,000 passengers will be willing to pay $700 million per year by 2021, merely for a white-knuckle ride and a few minutes of weightlessness. It's going to cost $200,000 for each person to go up into orbit, and I got to talking to John DiNardo about this. We think it's the people that are going up into orbit to supposedly experience this few minutes of weightlessness will be the ruling power elite. They may apparently have to go off planet off and on as the Earth catastrophes unfold. Now, some of you folks are out there on the alternative news networks. You're always concerned about. Who did 9/11? Who did the Gulf oil spill? Who did this? Who did that? I don't think it's important to know who did it, folks. Dr. Judy Wood has actually educated me about this. Her insight into this is pretty interesting. Do you actually think me or you are going to go out and prosecute any of these rats tomorrow? I think this is up to their creator to decide what's going to happen to them. This really bothers me for some reason when I hear people say, who did it, who did it? You know, that's the most important thing to know about 9/11. Because who are we to judge what's going to happen to these rats based upon whatever crimes of humanity they've committed? Anyway, I have a soundbite I'd like to play that Dr. Judy Wood presented on Melody Hallett's show, Truth Quest, up in Colorado. It may sort of give you guys somewhat of an idea how she refutes this, how Dr. Wood refutes the so-called inside job groupthink mentality that is prevalent out there in the in the alternative news media. I don't know if this is going to work or not, folks. I actually had to put my CD into a a DVD player connected to my TV to send it into my mixer board. Because for some weird reason here, my portable CD player is not working. It's got a brand new battery in it. So I'm just going to try this, and hopefully it'll work. But this is Dr. Wood refuting the inside job groupthink mentality that's prevalent out there in regards to 9/11. So we'll play that and see how that comes across.
Now, another question I have for you, Judy, is do you presume or assume or speculate that the other governments of the world, which, of course, have their intelligence agencies, understand what really happened?
Oh, yes. I think many people do. And there are people who probably work on this technology that recognize it. But even people who work on it are so compartmentalized that they might not want to think of it that way. Some will, but, you know, they can't speak out. What can they do about it? But as for, you know, who done it, anybody could have done it. There's a lot of things, you know, if you want me to speculate here, let's just look at some different scenarios. I'm not saying this is what happened, but scenarios other than the U.S. government done it, because you know, that's been worn out so much that you know, I don't need to cover that base. But let's say you're one of a handful of people that want to take over the United States. How are you going to outdo their military? Yeah, that doesn't work. Instead, you have access to some gizmo, to this technology, and can poof the towers. Or you get somebody else to do it. And then you start this truth movement and get the U.S. citizens to turn on their old government and destroy their own country. And then you just walk in.
Uh-huh.
That's what I do not want to see happen.
Okay, so there would be a certain element of people, or perhaps the real perps, would be real glad to see the notion that people with bumper stickers, 911 was an inside job, so that people would turn on their government, presuming that their government did it, when in fact you think it's possible the government didn't do it.
Correct. It could
that's
be a number
an interesting
country.
One. That's the first I've heard that. It's an interesting thought.
It could be another country, or could it be a private faction like Webster Tarpley talks about?
Yeah, like say a handful of people. Another scenario would be, what happens if the U.S. government does not have such technology?
They go find some, they found.
Are they going to want people to know that they got had, they do not have that technology?
Huh. Okay, well,
let me
rephrase the question. Okay.
Stay tuned, folks. You're listening to The Light of Dan Orion. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Live Day, coming to you live Saturday night, July 31st, 2010. This is your host, Sheldon Day, on the Orion Talk Radio Network. Well, I was playing a soundbite there of Dr. Judy Wood until the commercial had interrupted. Unfortunately, we got to pay the bills here on the network. But Dr. Judy was expounding upon her take on how she refutes this inside job groupthink mentality that is prevalent in the so-called 9/11 truth movement, and I really agree with her on this. You see, folks, what happened on 9/11 was directed energy weapon technology was utilized to bring down the World Trade Center complex in Manhattan. And we had a Hurricane Erin parked off the coast of New York City on the morning of 9/11. This isn't widely publicized in the 9/11 truth movement for some reason. And we really need to be paying attention to this kind of stuff because this lady, Dr. Judy Wood, I've gotten her onto like 12 or 13 radio shows already. This lady knows her stuff pretty well. And we really need to pay attention to what she's saying. So I'm going to finish up this sound bite right now of what I just mentioned.
Do you presume that other governments understand who did it?
I think there's a certain group of gangsters, whatever you call them, who know their competition, and different pockets here and there that develop different things. If you look into history, it's available in books if you look as to what happened to, for example, the technology that was going on in Germany by the Nazis. Where did that go after World War II?
It came here.
Uh-huh. Then what? Do we know? And where else did it go? There's so many questions. I don't know enough about that stuff. It's, to me, it's a he said, she said, who said, what said, but I do understand that there's a whole lot of different scenarios, many more, that make more sense than our government did it to us.
Okay, but you are involved in this lawsuit, this QITAM lawsuit, in which the 23 defendants are private contractors for the U.S. government, which involve groups like the ARA and the SAIC, as you mentioned. Does that not suggest, does not implicate them in the operation?
Not necessarily. But one thing I did show, and this is my appeal to the RFC to NIST in August 2007, where I showed that ARA had a contract with the U.S. government for X number of years before 9/11 and after 9/11, during the time in which they were writing this report, where they're paid to know everything about anything about everything of any weapon of mass destruction that existed on the planet. If that's what they're being paid to do, don't you think they can recognize the fingerprint of who's Gizmo done that?
So at least they're involved in the cover-up.
Yes, that I can say for sure. When you have a company that did fire tests and could not, no matter what, get a floor to fail to support load due to fire, but they sign off on a report that says fire did it? Hello?
Yes.
Okay, so folks, so there's a soundbite by Dr. Judy Wood on the Melody Hallett radio show Truth Quest up in Colorado. Like I said, I firmly believe that directed energy weapon technology was used to bring down the World Trade Center complex, and this is why, what do we got now, 9 years after the facts, they still can't rebuild on the site, or they're having an incredible problem rebuilding, is because molecular dissociation is breaking down the soil, the surrounding soil, and that it's like a lingering effect that goes on from this technology used. That's why they can't rebuild on the site. And me and Judy Wood don't talk to each other anymore. She actually thinks I'm a troll, but oh well. She thinks a lot of people out there are trolls, but I steadfastly maintain my belief in her research, and she's actually my number one researcher into what happened on 9/11. I don't want to get sidetracked with the 9/11 thing because that's just another distraction. But it's important that we do know that what we actually witnessed on 9/11 was a demonstration of free energy technology. This is a Tesla-based technology, and Dr. Wood has cataloged various phenomena that has been witnessed during that fateful day, and it synchronizes with the work of this scientist up in Canada by the name of John Hutchinson, who has actually reverse engineered Tesla's work on a small scale. So I would highly encourage you folks to research Dr. Wood's research. Anyway, I'm going to play a soundbite now by John DiNardo. He was on the R.J. Hender show on RBN Thursday morning, and he really summed it up quite well about what has happened out in the Gulf. I actually have this posted on my website if you folks want to check it out. So as soon as I get my DVD player here, sort of being distracted because my portable DVD, my portable CD player is not working properly, so I'm having to go through the TV to play my tracks here. But like I said, John DiNardo was a guest on R.J. Hender's The Morning Liberty Show on RBN Thursday morning, and he summed it up quite well as to what's actually happening out in the Gulf. And if you folks want to check this out, you can go to my archives, miscellaneous subpage. But anyway, here's the bite, so let's check that out.
Well, I got about the oil spill because I know about Planet X. I knew that it was a scam. What they did was they deliberately drilled into that oil volcano in the Gulf of Mexico because they wanted to create the illusion that man had created this oil spill when, in fact, God had created it by bringing Planet X in. You see, every seabed in the world is now beginning to break up. We are seeing bubbling, buckling, and bulging of the seabeds all around the world. The Coral Sea has had bulging, 13 feet increase in the seabed bottom over a period of days. And this is exactly what's happening in the Gulf of Mexico. I have a friend.
So you're suggesting
who was a Gulf War veteran.
The crust of the Earth is being impacted by this.
Absolutely. In fact, the thinnest part of the Earth's crust is the seabeds. If think about it, all the seabeds are thinner and much more pliable because of the water resting on the seabeds than is the crust of the Earth, which is more solid. However, the crust of the Earth is undergoing tremendous breakups. There's methane bubbles, methane being pumped up from the ground all over Pennsylvania, Texas, Colorado, you name it. There's places you can catch in the news. Just do an internet search on the word methane and places like Pennsylvania and Texas, etc. It's happened all over the world. The sinkholes are increasing tremendously. There was a huge sinkhole the size of almost the size of an office, well, bigger than an office building in Guatemala City. You know, this oil spill is a fraud. What they wanted to do was to show us, to make us believe that man had caused this oil spill when, in fact, the entire bed of the Gulf of Mexico is breaking up and there is oil coming out all over the place. I had posted essays on this fact, what I believe is a fact, 2 months ago when everybody was saying, oh, BP is really screwed up and they are causing all this trouble and they can't stop the leak. Well, why would they drill into a volcano? There's no reason to drill into a know what they knew was a volcano. They have the satellites that can look deep into the Earth and tell where the volcanoes are, where the oil deposits are. They wanted to make it look like man created this because if the world ever found out that these the leakage of oil coming from all the seabeds around the world, not just here but in China also, is caused by the gravitational pull of this planet now beginning to take effect as it draws closer and closer, then what would happen to the people? They would panic. All the people who are docile and timid and obedient to this tyrannical leadership, this power elite that rules the world, those people would suddenly, out of fear, say, there is a greater fear. Their attitude would be, there's a much greater fear than my fear of the government, and that fear is what's
panic,
and they would.
Nobody on the road, nobody on the beach. Feel it in the air, the sun is out of reach. Empty lake, empty street, the sun goes down alone. I'm driving by your house, so I know you're not hurting.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to the Live Day with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live on the Orion Talk Radio Network, live Saturday night, July 31st, 2010.
They wanted to make it look like man created this because if the world ever found out that these seabed the leakage of oil coming from all the seabeds around the world, not just here, but in China also, is caused by the gravitational pull of this planet, now beginning to take effect as it draws closer and closer, then what would happen to the people? They would panic. All the people who are docile and timid and obedient to this tyrannical leadership, this power elite that rules the world, those people would suddenly, out of fear, say, there's a greater fear. They would, their attitude would be, there's a much greater fear than my fear of the government, and that fear is what's
panic.
And they would lose, they would go into panic, and they would, the power elite
panic
would lose
is their
control.
Concern.
The reins of power would be yanked out of their greedy fists immediately. And that is the
See,
last
I think
thing
that
they,
is
would, they would rather blame themselves for the oil
that
leak
is,
than have the full find out.
Okay? Control of the earth is being torn from their hands, okay? It is being torn from their hands.
And they're desperately trying to stop it.
Everywhere around the world, we're making it very clear, we're not going to take this anymore. We're done.
Well, here's the thing, though, RJ.
And panic is their concern because it will hit them in the pocketbook, okay? Panic will occur, if it occurs, right? It will financially harm them. They will lose money if people go into a panic.
But they'll lose their power. They'll lose their control over the entire world. That's why their one world government will fall apart. You see, the greatest factor of this panic would be the fear, not necessarily anger. Yes, there's a lot of anger and backlash due to this tyrannical abuse that the people are taking. However, there's the greater panic will come from the absolute stark terror that comes when people see that the earth is breaking up. They do not want the people to know that the Gulf of Mexico is breaking up. Now, let me tell you something. This is a secret. It's something that came to me 3 to 4 years ago from a friend of mine here in northern New Jersey. He was a former Gulf War veteran. He has contacts with one person who is a geologist for the U.S. Geological Survey. 3 to 4 years ago, he told me this. This is important. It's important to remember. He said that this geologist with the U.S. Geological Survey told him two things. One, they are surveying for tremendously wonderful opportunities for oil drilling in the Gulf of Mexico. Two, they expect land masses to arise out of the Gulf of Mexico. This was 3 to 4 years ago. That's how I knew that this oil spill was a scam, and then no other Patriot broadcaster knows that. They don't have a clue. None of them have a clue. They think it was a BP originated thing. But if you look at all the facts, the fact that they're covering up, they put the Corexit in there because they wanted to scratch two itches. One was kill off the population. Two, Corexit,
yeah.
as Keith Olbermann stated on MSNBC, and go to YouTube, you'll see it. Keith Olbermann on MSNBC says the scientists have proven that the Corexit does nothing but cover up the seabed, and that's exactly
yes.
what they want. They didn't want the cracks and fissures to be noticed.
On that point, he was right. In fact, I got a hold of that, and I put it up on my website so people can see it, okay? Most of the time, he gets it wrong. Most of the time, his position is wrong, but on that point, he got it right. In fact, on MSNBC, right? Brzezinski is in charge. His own daughter is on MSNBC, okay? But Keith Olbermann made it very clear and took a stand. Risks his career making a stand on Corexit, okay? They did not have to spray Corexit out there, except they intend to kill people and to kill, you know, fish and to kill birds. They didn't have to spray Corexit to stop the oil there in the Gulf. No way.
Yes, right. But of course, their main reason for doing it was to blanket the seabed so you could not see it. They were desperately trying to cover up the fact that the entire Gulf of Mexico seabed is cracking up. Lindsay Williams documented that himself. There's radio interviews, and it's absolutely true. Now, you're going to start seeing it very soon. You're going to start seeing breakups. That's why you're hearing all these other phony lies. Yesterday, we heard a story about this towboat that hit an oil rig and caused another leak. Well, that was another lie to make it look, to deceive people into thinking that man has caused these oil leaks that are coming up, popping up all over the oceans and seabeds of the world. And you're going to hear more and more lies. You'll hear find out. Do a search. You'll find out that in China there are oil leaks occurring. Seabeds.
The entire surface seabeds
of the earth are breaking up right now.
So there you go, folks. There's the
South Pole Telescope.
Just hang on here. I got to.
And very interesting that they want that built by
Sorry, folks, but my portable CD player ain't working, so sort of hard to sync things up here during the show. But, yeah, anyway, John DiNardo, he does a great job in expounding upon what's actually happening out in there in the Gulf. And I also believe what John is putting forth. He was going to put out a new essay today. It might not be until tomorrow now because I haven't seen it yet in my email inbox. But he's got some more information to put out on that, about what's happening out there in the Gulf. I got one more soundbite I wanted to play here before the show ends. Man, the time is just flying. This next soundbite is actually a soundbite off Professor James McCanney's show back in, back in October 26, 2006. So this would have been almost 4 years ago. But he mentions the peculiarities of the launching of the South Pole Telescope down in Antarctica. You know, for some of you folks out there that might think, oh, well, they just launched these telescopes around the planet for no reason at all. I just wanted to play this for you and let you folks ponder about what's going on with the South Pole Telescope. So here's that soundbite.
At the South Pole, the South Pole Telescope is under construction, and very interesting that they want that built by fall of 2006. How do you get 244 tons of telescope down to the South Pole in a four-month period and build it? And so a lot of questions there. I put a posting of an email I got from a friend of mine who's very familiar with government contracts and what you should expect in a government contract. I'm just going to quickly read this email on the air, not quoting anybody's name, but this was a private communication to me from a person who's extremely familiar with government contracts, has worked in the government, around the government, and supported government projects in the past throughout his lifetime, very experienced. So here's what his comment was about the South Pole Telescope and the web page and the information being released to the public. He said, let's see now. Parallel programs just in case one gets behind schedule or has a failure. The University of California website is one of the most incomplete major science project sites I have ever seen. The list of subjects not detailed would run 2 pages. Would love to see their budget, schedule, etc. Could not even find a link to the prime contractor's brag site. This puppy is a whopper. Bet the budget is well north of $150 million. No mention of the support facilities to be built at the South Pole, or are they just going to kick out the science teams currently in residence? No brag pages on how they overcame the engineering challenges of placing 244 tons on ice and maintaining stability. Understand, there was even the manufacture of backup components in Europe. I've never seen an NSF, a National Science Foundation program, move this fast with such invisibility, especially for a telescope. How many telescopes of this size have ever been assembled in 3 months, let alone at the South Pole? None. Operational by South Pole fall. Know anyone? He's just asking me then, do you know anybody at any of the support universities? And then he says, I bet the data flow goes through a three-letter agency before anybody else sees it. The end of email, but very interesting things going on. And this is what I'm saying. Behind the scenes, I'm able to, and the friends that I deal with, my long-term associates that are able to peer through what's going on, a lot of times it's what's not being said that you have to read into and understand and interpret it, and that's why people listen to this show, because you get news you are not going to find or hear anywhere else. While the other news talk shows are saying there's nothing going on, actually, there's a ton of stuff going on. You just have to know how to find it and what to look for, how to interpret it.
So there you go, folks. There's a soundbite of Professor Jim McCanney from, I believe it was October 2006. Well, hey, there's the end of the show. Thanks for tuning in to The Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Day. We'll be back on Orion next weekend. Hope you folks enjoyed the show. Later. Bye.
Orion Talk Radio Network is here. The First Amendment of the Constitution grants us freedom of speech. That's the freedom to express our views and opinions without censorship. If you listen to mainstream radio at all, you'll notice that free speech is pretty hard to find these days, with just a handful of networks offering programs that dare to discuss topics and issues that have a profound impact on our daily lives. The mainstream media simply lies by omission and distortion of the facts. The Orion Talk Radio Network is committed to bringing you entertaining and thought-provoking programming that dares to tell the truth. And you can help us as we grow our network. If you think you have what it takes to host a show, you know of someone interested in hosting a show, or any other suggestions, comments, or questions, please drop us an email at OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. That's OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. And thank you for listening to the Orion Talk Radio Network. The Big Shot of the Milliwatt. This is Micro 1650 AM, Tonawanda, New York.
It's time to get serious.